Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Song of Solomon, chapter 3. But first, we read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Song of Solomon 3. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house, and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose, and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, till he please. Who is he that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh, because of fear in the night. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou art not only our creator, but also our provider, and thou hast brought us again safely together with our flock, and bringest us together in this afternoon once again around thy holy word and everlasting testimony. And we may acknowledge thee for all thy sparing mercies over each and every one of us. And Lord, thou knowest also the son of the widow in our midst, that thou may remember him also, that thou would spare him for his children, for his mother, and his loved ones, and could it please thee to break his heart also with thy goodness and with thy mercy, and that thou may bring him to thy blessed footstool, and do teach us all the shortness of our life, for we go in a journey to our long home, each one of us, must one a day take our place either at thy right hand or at thy left hand in thy judgment, and then to be delivered to that place where thou hast prepared for us either an eternal punishment or an eternal joy, and because of thy dear Son, and there is not one of us that differs from another. We are all cut of that same cloth. We are all of our father Adam. And thy servant did say, dead in sins and in trespasses and carnally minded, so that thou didst say that to be carnally minded is death. And then, Lord, we must say that we are dead unless thou makest us alive, and unless thou dost give life in the life of thy children to quicken it. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And but thou dost make thy children to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, that we also may be given that desire in our hearts this day for that spiritual life, and that we may be raised above all that is dying and dead, that we may desire to be lifted up and unto spiritual matters in thee, where thou art sitting at the right hand of power, where thou art guiding this whole world to care for thy own church, thy bride, she who is espoused unto thee, and thou wilt bring her unto the great marriage supper of the Lamb. O Lord, wilt thou give us a new heart, both young and old, a true regeneration, because we will forever follow in the path of our birth, our father Adam, and the prince of this world. We are captive in death, O Lord. There is no man that has power over death. And there is no discharge, O Lord, in that war. Who can raise himself from the dead? And we do not deserve it from thee. Who has deserved it, O Lord? And then we are all guilty, and we are all filthy, and we are all polluted. And we have all gone astray from thee, so that there is none that doeth good, no, not one. And who can put his hand into his own bosom and take it out clean? Lord, thou seest more than the outward appearance, and thou lookest on the heart, and thy eyes are as a flame of fire that do pierce to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And who then of us can hide from thee? And thy servant did say, if I would ascend unto heaven, behold, thou art there. And if I would make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. And then there is no place where thine eye cannot see us. O Lord, thou knowest the inmost recesses of our hearts, and how that we cleave ever unto our own sin, those bosom sins that no man in this world can see, and that we have become so adept at hiding from one another. But we are all naked and open before thee, with whom we have to do. And then there is no adulterer, and there is no murderer, and there is no idolater, there is no fornicator, there is no sinner that shall come into the presence of thee. O Lord, we must be born again, and we must be forgiven, we must receive a right, we must be renewed, we must be made into a new creature. Lord, we beseech it of thee, and thou hast anointed thy dear son just for that purpose. Oh, thou hast given him offices. Thou hast given him power. He has become the victor over death, hell, sin, and the grave. And thou canst now raise up the dead. And thou canst now forgive the guilty. And thou canst now cleanse the filthy and bring us again into thy presence. It all must come from thee, O Lord. But thou sayest thou wilt do it. And for such as we are, that thou may also fulfill that word. Lord, it is thy own institution that we gather within. It is thy own word that we gather around. And we are but men. It is all foolishness from our side, even the preaching. But it is by the foolishness of preaching that thou wilt save them that believe. Lord, that it may be so in this afternoon, and that thou may show thyself in the midst of us, and that thou wouldst come with thy power undeservedly in the midst of us. Give us new life from the dead, that there may come a cry from a newborn child, and that there may be gladness in thy church, and that there may be godly sorrow in their heart, and that there may begin a new life, a new seeking, a new love, a new desire. That thou wouldst remember the children and the youth. They are drawn by the prince of darkness, and he makes his darkness to appear as the light. But, Lord, show them in the days of their youth what is the truth, that they might seek thee with all their heart, might, and strength. For though thou sayest, those that seek me early shall find me. Then there is a promise connected to it. That they may be given to take hold also of it, Lord. And that thou mayest give them in the days of their childhood to love the Lord. And that with all their heart they may flee from the ways of sin. And give us as parents wisdom, discretion, the tender fear of thy name. That we may know how to lead, to uphold, to encourage, to discipline our children. And that we may receive faithfulness therein as grandparents also, to warn, to instruct, and may it be something in our own heart to draw in the midst of this world, above all that draws in this life in a natural way. Lord, remember all thy people, and thou knowest the young and the older within thy church, and thou knowest the life that thou hast given unto them. It is a life, and that lives. It is not dead, but it is alive. And then it hungers and it thirsts, and sometimes it does not hunger and it does not thirst. Lord, wilt thou remember them, because sometimes then they also sleep. And when they should not sleep, thou sayest it unto thy disciples. What couldst thou now watch 1 hour, O Lord? How thy church cannot watch when the devil is so near. And they are so often so slothful, and they do not know how to watch. But wilt thou remember and revive thy own work in the midst of the years? In wrath, remember mercy, O Lord. And wilt thou visit thy church, that they may be given a renewal, and that their mouth may speak, and that their heart may sing, and that their voice may be heard in the midst of the flock. And that others might say, who is this that cometh forth from the wilderness? Remember us all together. Bless thy holy word to young and old. And wilt thou remember all those that bring thy word, increase their number, and the student, thy servants, on the mission field, in the established congregations over the length, the breadth of the whole world, because it comes to its end. Thy footsteps are heard upon the clouds, and we can see in the signs and the rebellion in the midst of the world against Thee, Thy commandments, authority. O Lord, that Thou may look on us and give us understanding hearts and bring us to bow in truth before Thee. Do remember all the widows of the congregation in their loneliness, in the difficulties of being alone, and that Thou may remember those that are afflicted, that do have troubles of the body, but also of the mind, and those that do recover from diseases, from falls. Lord, Thou knowest the place of each one. Bless and sanctify all the callings to young and old together. Remember us as a consistory. When we have met together once again, the decisions that are continually made, the labors that are laid upon us, wilt Thou remember the confession class when we hope to begin this Tuesday evening. Lord, Thou givest a desire that they may be united to the congregation as a confessing member. But Lord, then instruction must go first, that Thou may give us strength, that Thou may give us wisdom, that Thou may give us a good time together as a class round about Thy holy word and testimony, and that Thou may bless all the labors that are done in the midst of the congregation. Bless also the labors of this hour, Lord, who is sufficient for these things. It is Thy holy, holy word. And we are but a creature, and we know not how to bring it forth aright, to give food to Thy people. But Thou sayest to Thy disciples, make the men sit down. And they have but to give it out, and Thou gavest it all. O Lord, give it yet again this hour. So many times Thou hast helped us through. O wilt Thou help us through again, and wilt Thou give Thy presence feelingly and believingly in the midst of us in this hour, forgiving and taking away all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offerings are being received, we'll sing from Psalter 398, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand. The burdened ones, bowed down with grief, are helped by His most gracious hand. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 398. Beloved congregation, King Solomon made himself a chariot. It was, we have heard, for the daughters of Jerusalem. Christ does send his gospel as a chariot by which he will transport his own elect unto himself, into his own communion, into his own bed. Are there those that desire this communion? That is a spiritual desire. Is there a single spiritual desire that lives within your heart? Because the Lord Jesus says this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Or is in your heart only desires which are carnal? Oh, do you desire to believe in God? Do you desire to love him? Do you desire to serve him with all your might, with all your strength, with all your heart? Do you desire to dwell with him not only in eternity, but do you desire also to live with him here in the time? That is, to desire to be brought into his communion. Do you desire also to be carried in his chariot? Because they are such as feel within themselves that they have not that strength to go, that they have not that faith, that they have not that hand to take, that it all must come from the side of the Lord. And if it will ever be with them, then they need to be carried in the chariot of the Lord. Mephibosheth, we read, he ate continually at the Lord's table and was lame on both his feet. That never changed. That was always that way until he died. And then it became different. The words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion that was read to you, the Song of Solomon, chapter 3, and thereof verse 11. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 11. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart. So far the words of our text. King Solomon crowned, first by whom he is crowned. It says, wherewith his mother crowned him. Second, when he was crowned. We read, wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart. Third, the admonition to behold his crowning. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart. King Solomon crowned, first by whom he was crowned. Second, when he was crowned. And last, the admonition to behold his crown. crowning. The crown wherewith his mother crowned him. What does it mean to receive a crown? Then you will say, boys and girls, to receive a crown is a great honor. It is a king, it is a queen that receives a crown. And all the people, they are looking up, they are lifting up in their estimation this person who has received a crown. There is a second thing. That crown is a token of authority. Thus, a person who gives a crown to someone else, that is a token of subjection. They submit themselves under the authority of the person who is crowned. In reality, there are many men who are crowned in an outward way, but the persons who crown them do not submit to their authority. They actually hate them, perhaps even within their heart. They do not submit to them. Maybe they obey in an outward way because they have to, but in their heart they do not submit. What kind of crowning is this? Well, we know it is not a natural crowning, but it is a spiritual crowning. So it is a crowning that is not taking place in an outward way, and it is a crowning which is a type, because King Solomon is here a type. And thus that crowning that we read of here is a crowning and that does not take place outwardly, but it takes place inwardly. It is a crowning that takes place in the heart of a man when Christ is lifted up in his heart. And when he is setting Christ upon a throne. And when he is submitting to him, to his authority. We know that Christ was crowned in the day of his ascension. Then he was crowned by his Father. We know that when Christ comes again to judge the quick and the dead, that he will come with a crown. He will come in his exaltation. Every eye shall see him. The Father will give the judgment unto the Son. Thus he is crowned by his Father. The Father gives him that authority. But here we read a crowning that is done by his mother. The crown wherewith his mother crowned him. Christ is not crowned by everyone in this world. Christ is not esteemed by everyone in this world. No, Christ has many enemies. The greatest part of the world rejects the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that he is under the influence of the devil himself. He is not a friend, but he is an enemy of Christ. He has his own kingdom. Why would he wish to crown the Lord Jesus Christ? Why would he wish to build up the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ? No, it is just the opposite. There is a warfare, a perpetual warfare of the devil against Christ in his kingdom. He is already sentenced. The Lord has already sentenced him. We can read about it in Genesis 3 already, when God has said to him that it shall bruise thy head. Christ will bruise the head of the devil, and the kingdom of Christ shall overcome the kingdom of the devil. Doesn't look that way, does it, young people? Doesn't look that way, does it? And you are afraid sometimes, right? Before the whole world. You say there are so many people, and their ideas and their philosophies, They are living in the midst of this world, and you are sometimes afraid. Do not want to speak about the Lord. Do not want to confess His name. Do not want to live according to His word. It is mocked by the world. But the devil is already judged and sentenced. He is not yet put away. The time is soon coming. Do not need to be afraid. No, there will be a great persecution of God's church. But read that in the book of the Revelation. How that God's servants will come out of this. How that they will rise, as it were, from the dead. Oh, Christ has so many enemies. The devil, the world. The world is at enmity with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is seeking a different king. The king of worldly honor? The king of worldly riches? Do they reign in our life? What is the king that we do seek? The Jews themselves, oh, they do reject Christ as the Messiah, even with the profession of being children of Abraham, the prophet of God, already from of old, taking his name, but rejecting his seed. Oh, there are so many that do reject him. And us? Ah, you say, we do not. We profess his name. We are Christians. We go by that name. We do. But how is it in a personal way? What does that name of Christ mean unto us? Do we crown him? Or will we not have this man to reign over us? It is a distinguishing question because we are all together and we are all one and we all have that one name of Christian. Thus you say there is a unity. Wait a moment. Yes, there is. There ought to be another unity. What is that unity that needs to be within our hearts, young and old, that is the crowning of the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart? What does the Apostle Paul say? If any love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha, cursed. Do we lie under that? Then there must be a testimony in our heart. What is that testimony? You need not say that to me. But the Lord knows that. He knows that it is between each and every one, child and adult, and the Lord this day. What think ye of Christ? The crown wherewith his mother crowned him. Christ is crowned by his mother. Who is his mother? His mother is the church. That is the visible church in an outward way, but it is the invisible church in an inward way. It is God's own true people that are called in the Word of God Christ's mother. Thus, Christ is conceived in the womb of his church. He is conceived in the womb of his people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. We know that the world did despise them under that name. But the disciples, they did not despise that name of Christ. That was for them a badge of honor. Why? Because they crowned him in their heart. He was conceived in their womb. That makes her his mother. She loves him. Love your child, right, mothers? And when that child is in your womb, then there is a love. Oh, that love waxed cold. You say, how can it be? A child of my womb. Oh, then she magnifies him that is conceived within her. You say, was that always that way? Oh, was that way when that mother herself was born? Did she always have that conception of Christ that the bride is here speaking about? No, that was not always. That brings us to our second thought. When he was crowned. What does our text say? It speaks about the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart. Thus she speaks here about certain special days in her life. You have certain special days in your life. When you were married, an anniversary, a birthday, boys and girls, or when something special, very special, has happened in your life. Then we have certain special days naturally. And then in God's church, there are certain special days. Certain days that they do not forget. Certain days that we would say if you wake them up in the middle of the night and they can tell you about those days. Days that they remember. Days that they cherish in their heart. That is what we read about here. It speaks about the day of his espousals. What is that? We read that Joseph was espoused unto Mary. What does that mean? Well, we would say something like to be engaged. They were not yet come together in marriage, but they were engaged. Is that a special day, young people? Maybe remember that day. What is so special about that day? Day of engagement. Well, because in that day there was a promise. There was a certain promise for the future concerning the relation that is between you as two persons. Then there is a love which is confessed. Thus, there is an espousal. Now, the Bible speaks about the marriage of the Lamb as something that is going to happen in that last day, the great day of days, when the Lord is going to bring in his church and they are going to be received as his bride in a physical way. Their bodies raised from the dust, incorruptible and without sin, completely pure. Oh, the great marriage and the great supper of the Lamb. What will it be when it is said, that day is come? But then there has to happen something first in our life. That is not the first thing that happens in the life of God's people. No, that is the final consummation of everything that the Lord is doing in the life of His church. Thus, there are certain days, certain special days that have to take place in that church of God. In eternity, we know that the church that is already belonging unto Christ, that is in their election, in the election of the Father, that the Lord is giving that people unto His Son in a covenant of redemption. That covenant of redemption that had no other purpose than a church. There was not something just between the Father and the Son, regardless of the church, but it had everything to do with that church. They were not a party in the covenant of redemption. They become a party in the covenant of grace. Those cannot be separated from one another. But in that covenant, the Father already is giving that people unto His only begotten Son. Is that then what is here spoken about when it speaks about the day of His espousals? No. No. In eternity, then the church is given unto Christ as the Lamb that is slain before the foundation of the world. But something still yet has to happen. And what has to happen? Young people, what has to happen in the life of a person? What would you say? What would you give at us as an answer? Someone asks you that question. You know what you need to say. I hope you feel that in your heart. Because there are people, they will say, well, you have to have faith. And that is right. That is true. But I hope you will feel something. And that is that you are dead. That you are dead. And that there can come no fruit from this tree forever unless it comes from the Lord. What has to happen in the life of a man? He needs to be born again. That is what the Lord Jesus says. Do you believe that? Do you believe that we must be born again? And that regeneration, that is a regeneration in Christ, cannot be in anyone else because it flows forth from Him. It flows out of His resurrection from the dead. There is no other way that a man can be born again except that Christ has been raised from the dead. Is that then the espousal that our text is speaking about? It is not. In regeneration, there is a change of state. In regeneration, a man begins to live. In regeneration, the wrath of God is taken away. But in regeneration, a man is born as an infant and he does not know that he is a child. He doesn't know that he is a child. Oh, salvation, where does that begin? It does not begin here. It doesn't begin here. Is that good or bad? Depends whether you have tried it. Do you despair of it from beginning here? Can you not get it to begin here? Can you not think one spiritual thought? Can you not take away the carnality of your flesh? Oh, then you will say, oh Lord, that is a wonder that it all has to come from thee. And then you will say, Lord, oh, that I might be born again, that I may be regenerated. Oh, Lord, thou sayest in thy word, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Oh, Lord, give me also that life. And if I will have that life, then I will have faith too, because the Lord, he gives that faith. It is all from above. Everything that is happening in the life of God's people, it is all fruit. All fruit of his work. All fruit of the work of that Holy Spirit of the Lord. Ask God's people. They will tell you they cannot move one finger, they cannot take one step, except that spiritual life is continually given unto them from the Lord himself. Oh, the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals. What is this day then? The day of his espousals. Oh, that is the day that Christ was lifted up in their heart for the first time in their life. That is not so in regeneration. No. Oh, then God is lifted up. Was God ever lifted up in your heart? Did you ever begin to love him? Did you ever begin to love his day and his institutions and his servants and the truth? Oh, did you ever come with desire in that house of the Lord? Did you ever say, oh Lord, that I might live and serve thee in righteousness and holiness all the days of my life? Oh, regeneration, that is spiritual, the soul that desires to return unto God. But do you know what is not shown in that day of regeneration? How? How that they can return unto God. That is now something that needs to be wrought out by a bitter experience in the life of that people. Justice. Justice. What is that? Then we begin to learn who God is. Righteous. What is that? Righteousness. Then the Lord will begin to show us that the Lord does not look through his fingers at sin. No, then we begin to see how strict that law of God is. What it requires of us. Then the tenderness of our heart, with love for him, desires that we will never step over a straw. The least commandment of the Lord. Oh, then that tender fear of the Lord is living in our heart. But what now? Is that requirement of the law of God? Oh, the weakness of my flesh. The Lord can teach us that in 3 days, like he taught it to Saul. But most of the time, it is taking years. Years. So that we say sometimes, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? Oh, we do not learn so quick who we are. We do not learn so quick. It needs to be wrought out in the experience of our life. What it means that we are a sinner in the eyes of a holy, a righteous, and a just God. Do you learn that a little? Do you learn that a little? Each and every day, the impossibility, despite love, despite desire, the brokenness of that first covenant. To learn that. Do you know what Peter said? He said, Lord, I am ready to go with thee into prison and into death. You too. You too. You know what that is? When Peter said that, because that is what is living in the heart of a regenerated soul. Oh, Lord, I am ready. I will give my whole life to thee. I will forsake the world and every former friend. I will. And it is all out of the goodness and the love that is living in their heart from the Lord and for the Lord. It's all from the Lord, all unto the Lord. But what did Peter have to learn? That the Lord had to do everything for him. He had to learn that in that hall of Caiaphas. That was a bitter experience. That's what it is in the life of that people. A bitter experience. Because they thought so much more of themselves than it actually is. And they have to learn that from this tree no fruit forever. Hard lesson. But it is a necessary lesson. Oh, the brokenness of that first covenant. Why? Why? That the Lord may reveal unto that people that new covenant, the new covenant that cannot be broken, the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals. Oh, Luther, he labored hard to get rid of his guilt. You do that too? Feel guilt? Or we do not think too much about guilt. Soon are going to stand there at that judgment seat. Believe that. You have guilt. You labor to get rid of that guilt. How do you labor? Oh Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Are there those that labor here? Children? Young people? Does that mean something to you? Or do you just come and go from the place of the holy all the time? You go on your knees. You come up again. And then it is world, world, world. And you read that word. And it is world, world, world. Or does something stay behind? When you are riding on the bus to school, when you are making your meal, when you are laboring in your occupation, there's something that goes with you in that day. Do you ever feel, I have to die? And I have to stand in the judgment? And I cannot die. And I do not dare to stand before God. Guilt. Guilt before our neighbor, yes. Guilt before God, all Luther labored. Confessions. goes, confessor. Every time, tomorrow I do it better. And tomorrow was not better. Why? Because that heart that stayed the same. And confession after confession, no relief. No relief. Until when? Until the Lord brought His word into his heart. Until the Lord revealed His Son in him. The just shall live by faith. And then he beheld him. And then he beheld him. And then his soul was espoused unto Christ. Oh, then his soul lifted him up. Oh, then he saw. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Oh, the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals, in the day that he was conceived in the womb of Luther, in the day that he is conceived in the womb of a broken and a contrite heart and spirit, that they may behold him and that they crown him, that they begin to love him, and when the heart begins to go out to him as the only name under heaven given among men whereby I must be saved. Oh, the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousal. Do you think Luther ever forgot that day? Wake him up in the middle of the night. And then he can tell you of that day. Oh, that day that Christ became everything. His all and all. The chiefest among 10,000. And altogether lovely. 124. 1, 2, 7, and 8. My heart doth overflow. A goodly theme is mine. My eager tongue with joyful song doth praise the King divine. 1, 2, 7, and 8 of 124. Our last thought, the admonition to behold his crowning. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart. The daughters of Zion. Who are the daughters of Zion? They are the same as the daughters of Jerusalem. They are those young seekers, the young converts. They do as the Lord says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Are they here too? Those young seekers, whether old in age or young in age, one who begins, one who says, this world that has nothing for me anymore. Oh, little knowledge, much zeal. Do you know what is in their heart? Love. So much love for the Lord. And then with Ruth, and they are coming there upon the fields of Boaz to reap among the gleaners, to glean among the reapers. And there they may receive a little bit on purpose left for her from Boaz. But they do not know whose field they are on. They are sitting in the church. Oh, they come with love in the church. But they do not know who that the Lord Jesus Christ is. They are so completely ignorant of the way. Oh, she marvels. She marvels at the bride. She says, who is this that cometh forth out of the wilderness? She has a holy jealousy for that people. Thy people, my people. And thy God, my God. But she doesn't know who that God is. And she does not know how she can have that God for her portion. And how she also may become an Israelite indeed. Oh, go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him. It is the admonition of that bride unto those daughters of Zion. And she is directing her to the most essential object of faith. She directs him to her, to him whom God's people love and admire and worship. And she directs her to seek to behold him also by faith. She says, listen. Listen to how God's people are speaking about him. Oh, listen to how he has been made precious unto God's people, the mother, how that he was conceived in her womb. Oh, seek to behold him too, with that crown, therewith his mother crowned him. Oh, ask that your eyes also may go open, for go forth, O ye daughters of Zion. Oh, you cannot behold this King Solomon with his crown if your soul is entangled with all the things of this life. Why? Because what you want to see, what you want to behold, is a spiritual sight. And if you will behold spiritual things, then we cannot be with our heart. We must be with our life. But we must not be with our heart in the middle of this world. No, the Lord says, come ye out from among them and be separate. Have you an inner closet? Oh, have you a place where your heart may go out to the Lord? With spiritual desires, go forth, O daughters of Zion. Separate yourselves now. Go forth, O daughters of Zion. That is also to go forward. That she says, keep going, O daughters of Zion. Proceed. Do not be discouraged. Why does she have to say that to the daughters of Zion? Because the life of the daughters of Zion is in a certain way. Oh, we would not discourage you, young people and children. It is a blessed way, but it is in a certain way also a discouraging way. Why? Because there is an expectation that they have within their own selves and of their own selves that has to be broken down. That is hard. That is hard. Oh, they believe, like Peter, I will. And then they have to find out, I cannot, and I will not. I will not. That is discouraging. And so, that bride, she says, go forth, O daughters of Zion. Your efforts to have peace with God, to get rid of your guilt, to get rid of your sin, of your heart, in your life, they do not succeed. But she says, go forth. Oh, the life of the daughters of Zion, that is not the life of temporary faith. The life of temporary faith has no root. It grows outwardly. It grows quickly. It goes up. It increases. But what is now the life of the daughters of Zion? What is now that true saving faith? It is not appearing above the ground. No one can see it. Mother, father, brother, sister. Oh, if they're perceptive, they can see it. Most of that, oh, it is going down, down, down. The root, sin, guilt, corruption, poverty, the fall, death. The foundation, it is a digging deep. And therefore, it is a people not like temporary faith. It is a people that need to be encouraged. Therefore, that bride, she looks at the daughters of Zion and she says, keep going. Keep going. You think it is wrong because you do not achieve your purpose. You do because you don't get yet what you want. Because you say your life is still worldly. You say there is still sin in my heart. And I still love sin in my heart. And the Lord is not everything to me as it ought to be. And it does not go the way that I thought it would go. And she says, keep going. Keep on going. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion. And behold King Solomon. All that is whom that you must seek to behold with the eye of faith. Go forth and do not stop until you have beheld him. Because when you come to the bottom of that horrible pit, and when your soul is sinking in that miry clay, then he will bring you up. And he will set your feet upon a rock. And he will establish your goings. And he will put a new song in your mouth, even praise unto our God. And therefore she says, O daughters of Zion, go forth. And behold, King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart. Oh, the day that the soul of the people espouses him turns away from all their own work, effort, wisdom, and espouses him by the power of that Spirit of the Lord. Oh, that day. That day is the day she crowns him. And that day is the day of the gladness of what? Of her heart. Yeah, that is true. But that is not what it says. The gladness of his heart. Oh, that day that his church may embrace him with the arms of faith is the day of the gladness of his heart. Oh, it is so acceptable and it is so agreeable unto the Lord Jesus Christ that a poor and a helpless sinner begins to love him, begins to look to him, when her heart begins to go out to him. Oh, that is so, so agreeable unto him. That is the day of the gladness of his heart. Oh, the leper worshiped him. Oh, Lord, if thou canst, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I will. I will. Why? Because it is the gladness of his heart. What else does he delight in? Is that not the very purpose of his coming into this world? Why was he anointed? Why? Why is his name not only Jesus? Why is his name also Christ, O daughters of Zion? As given to him of his Father. He's given offices. Oh, for this cause, he did come into the world. For this cause, he was sent to preach deliverance unto the captives and the opening of the prison unto them that are bound. That is the very reason that from eternity, his Father has wrought out, thought out this way. And that he has wrought it out in the time. That is the very reason that the Spirit of the Lord is coming to break a man down and to make him into a sinner before God, that he might receive the joy and that he may live and enjoy the gladness of his own heart. Oh, what is more gladdening to a Savior? When he may save a man who cannot save himself. If you can save yourself, then he says, go and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. That is not the gladness of his heart. But now if you cannot do it anymore, oh, then this is his delight. Oh, there is so much balm in Gilead. There is, O daughters of Zion, the Lord says there is a physician there for the most incurable of diseases. And what is the most incurable disease? That is sin. Or is it not? Or is it not? Can you not root it out of your heart? Is that the grief now of your heart? If we would only know our sin, if that now would be only our grief, then there is congregation. A ready remedy. Oh, go forth. Oh, ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals, and in the day of the gladness of his heart. There is joy in heaven. Joy in heaven over one sinner that repented. How much more is there joy in heaven when a sinner embraces that deliverance which is proclaimed in the name of the Son of God, name in the Syrian. He was full of leprosy. I think that little maid, she was so glad when she saw him go. When she saw him go, he was going to Israel. He was going to that prophet that was in Israel. And he did desire to be delivered from his leprosy. But you know what was in his heart? Pride. Pride. That is what is in our heart. Arnot, Abana, and Pharpar. Much better than all the waters of Israel. That is now what has to come down. That has to come down. You say, how shall that come down? You say, that is living in my heart. That how shall that ever come out of my heart? That I will be humble. You know what you need? One word from the Lord. That servant, that humble servant. What was that in that moment? When that servant, he is going away in his rage. Never. And then that man. Simple word, blessed by the Lord, my Father. If the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather, when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean. What happened in that moment? What happened in that moment? The Lord opened his eyes. And he espoused that way. He espoused that way. He had despised it. He had despised it with all his heart. The word of the Lord is like the dew. Or it is a quiet moment. It is a powerful moment. When the Lord is coming to direct his people, who in their heart have nothing but enmity against that new and that living way. Oh, how much rather. And then what do we read? Then went he down. And he dipped himself 7 times in that Jordan. Not once, not twice, but against all the accusations of folly from within. Devil, but he had espoused a new way. And he was not put to shame. He was not put to shame. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown, wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, do teach us for the first time. Teach us by renewal and lead us, Lord, into those blessed truths. It is but a simple word, but it is thy word. It is a blessed crown wherewith thy people may crown thee. O Lord, we cannot do it It is not within our power unless thou dost take hold of us, take hold of our hearts, of the hearts of young and old, and lead us, O Lord, into these truths, that thy name may be magnified within the heart of each and every one of us. Do dismiss us with thy blessing. Bless thy word. Give us thoughts, meditations therein in the week to come. Help each one of us in the labors that thou dost place us in the midst of this world. Thou givest work in the homes, work in the offices, work in the fields, work in the schools. Thou providest so many things. Oh, break our hard and stony hearts and give with all these blessings that thy goodness may lead us to repentance and that we may be given also to crown thy dear and only begotten Son for Jesus' sake. Amen. 163, all the stanzas. O Lord, my God, most earnestly, my heart would seek thy face within thy holy house once more to see thy glorious grace. And what follows, 1, 2, and 3 of 163. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.